Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's Master of Liberal Studies.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How do we know what we know? Are our thoughts solely a factor of biochemical activity within the brain, or could some part of human consciousness reside outside the physical confines of the body? Many modern experts dismiss reports of extrasensory perception as either coincidental occurrences given meaning by the people who experience them, or as experiences that can ultimately be classified as illusions using standard medical science. But my guest today believes psychic abilities might indeed be explained by science, not as delusions, but as quantifiable realities that prove we are connected to one another in ways that transcend the limits of time and space. Dr. Diane Hennessy-Powell is a former faculty member of Harvard Medical School. Her new book is called The ESP Enigma, The Scientific Case for Psychic Phenomena. Diane, welcome to Think.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You imagine that this kind of research could someday parallel the Copernican Revolution, which moved us to that once heretical idea that the Earth revolved around the sun as opposed to the other way around. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yes. I think that there's been evidence for over 100 years that psychic abilities exist, and yet it still isn't part of mainstream science. And the same thing happened with the Copernican Revolution. It was discovered over 150 years before it was actually authenticated by Newton and accepted that the sun was actually the center of the universe. And yet, what was happening was you had this huge resistance to it. And the same thing is happening now. There is so much evidence for precognition and telepathy. There's over 100 years of documented, well-constructed studies, and yet mainstream science just totally ignores it. But there's an increasing number of people that believe in these abilities and that are they're open-minded now to it. And this is really a major, major shift in the way that we look at the brain and consciousness. It really is as dramatic as viewing the sun as the center rather than the Earth or the universe.
Why do existing scientific standards sort of stay narrow enough that it's impossible to include the possibility of something like extrasensory perception?
One of the problems is the way that research is funded these days. In the old days, you had a lot of people that did scientific research as a hobby. They were from the aristocracy, and it was something they would do in their laboratory that they'd have at home, and they didn't really need outside funding in order to do what they were doing. Nowadays, we have to apply for grants from the National Institutes of Health or National Science Foundation. And what happens is the people that sit on those reviewing committees and read the grants, they are people that have well-entrenched ideas. They're people that are there sitting on the board reviewing grants because they've made a name for themselves in science. And they already have such entrenched views of things that if it doesn't fit their model, they won't even look at the grant. It just gets deep-sixed.
And there remains a danger even now in terms of professional credibility for scientists who want to study this. Can you talk about how that played into your decision or not to focus your career on psychic phenomena?
Well, I realize that it is, when you're in academia, if you talk about psychic phenomena with people behind closed doors, there are a lot of scientists who actually are open-minded to it. But if you publicly go out and try to publish something in that area, then scientists will actually, they will publicly say that they think it's nonsense, even the very ones that will agree with you behind closed doors, because there's so much fear that they would be regarded as a flake and that they'd lose credibility.
And I would imagine some of those that agree with you behind closed doors agree because they have experienced something that felt to them like a psychic phenomenon.
That's correct, mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you talk about some of the forms that this most commonly takes that almost all of us have experienced or known someone else who has experienced?
Oh, I'd say one of the most common experiences is to be thinking about someone and then to have them call you, and it might be somebody that you hadn't seen or spoken to for 6 months, and literally within a minute of thinking about them, the phone rings. I actually had this experience yesterday. I was talking to someone, and I said, my nephew is due to be born sometime in the next couple of weeks. The due date was February 6th, and I said, I just wonder. I mean, for all I know, he could be, coming into the world right now. And then literally, as soon as I finished that sentence, my phone rang, and it was my mother calling me to tell me my nephew had been born. So those kinds of things, they catch your attention.
The hard thing about those, of course, is that it's difficult to study them under controlled lab conditions.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's one of the problems. So many of the telepathic or precognitive experiences occur spontaneously when people aren't even trying to be that way. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of psychics, when they're put on the spot and they're put under scrutiny in the laboratory or on television and they're asked to perform, I think what happens is that actually interferes with their ability sometimes to engage the parts of the brain that are involved in psychic phenomena.
Can you talk for a minute about Carl Jung and his ideas about the sort of collective unconscious?
Well, Carl Jung was a brilliant man who was way before his time, and he recognized that there were recurrent themes that occurred throughout cultures that had no obvious contact with one another. And so he believed that we tapped into some kind of field of information. But he called it the collective unconscious because it was part of our heritage. He saw it as part of the human heritage, but that it was all in our unconscious as opposed to something that our waking conscious mind was aware of.
And one of these concepts is this thing called synchronicity. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, synchronicity is really a topic that he discussed. He even discussed it with physicists. He discussed it with Linus Pauling because he understood, even during that time period when he was interested in these things, he realized that there was something going on that physicists might be able to explain. And so there were discussions between the two. And his concept of synchronicities was that there are sometimes these phenomena that occur and the odds are just so against chance that it's just a coincidence that we think that there's some kind of meaning behind it. And a lot of people do attribute meaning to synchronicities, but I think that actually synchronicities, oftentimes there really isn't a meaning behind it. It's really just a manifestation of the fact that we live in a universe in which there's a lot of interconnection.
And we sort of look for meaning in everything anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's part of our human nature.
You talked about the idea that, you know, you can be thinking of someone and you get a call from out of nowhere. I was really surprised to read how common telepathy seems to be between people.
Yes.
Can you explain some of the different forms, one of which is during dreams, I guess?
That's actually the most common. About 67% of the telepathy that occurs in dreams. And there have been many, many dreams that have been recorded through history in which people will have a dream that, say, someone who's very close to them is in an accident and then or died, and then it turns out they get a phone call and that person was in an accident and died. In fact, the person who invented the EEG, which is the machine that's used to measure brain waves even today clinically, that person, he invented that machine because of his sister having a telepathic experience in which she dreamt that something happened to her brother, and she called him, or telegraphed him back then, she telegraphed him, and he had almost been in a serious accident that day, and he thought, wow, how could she have possibly known that? And he thought that maybe there was something that the brain emitted, and so he invented the EEG. And it didn't prove telepathy, but it's one of those examples of a scientist who was just so compelled by a personal experience that he went on to do research.
And, of course, some skeptics will say, well, you might have a lot of dreams about someone close to you being in an accident, and you forget all the other ones that you don't act on.
The Society for Psychical Research actually did a study on that, because they actually were, there were so many telepathic dreams that they became interested in it, and they founded this society to do research on it. And one of the things that they did was, after collecting all of these dreams, they did a survey in which they asked thousands of people, how often do you have a dream in which there's a crisis about a loved one? And they found that that's extremely rare. And so the statistics were such that it was, that when you look at the number of dreams that we have, I mean, we dream every night, generally have several dreams every night. And if you looked at how many dreams, and this was over a period of 10 years, and they found that it was extremely rare for people to have these dreams. So to say that, well, you know, these crisis dreams are just, you know, something that we all, we all experience as, you know, part of anxiety that something could happen to a loved one, actually has been statistically shown to not be the case.
Dr. Diane Hennessy Powell is my guest. Her new book is called The ESP Enigma, The Scientific Case for Psychic Phenomena. We would love for you to join our conversation at 1-800-933-5372. We would also love for you to join the community of people who keep KERA strong by calling 1-800-456-5372. Jeff Whittington is here now with some of the great things that happen when you become a KERA member.
Hey, Chris. Well, the first thing is we don't have to sell you the product because you're already using it. You already know how great public radio in North Texas is. You know how great KERA is. You would miss KERA if it were to disappear suddenly from the airwaves. We know that Deborah Shannon in Dallas and Heidi Coker in Plano and Terry Gibbs in Dallas, they love KERA so much that they have either joined for the first time or renewed their membership, thanks to each of you. You can join them. You can do the same at 800-456-5372 or online at kera.org. And, Chris, we are trying to end the drive today by 7 o'clock. There is a challenge in play to end the drive.
$2,500 has been offered to us by friends of KERA, Terry Black and David Dean, if and only if we can end the winter membership campaign, raise all the funds we need by 7 o'clock this evening. You can call right now and make a contribution and be part of the solution that ends the drive so that we'll all wake up tomorrow and just hear Morning Edition the way it was meant to be, unadulterated by contribution talk. But that can only happen if we raise the money we need right now at 1-800-456-5372 or by going online. That also counts, to kera.org.
I know we were somewhere around the 72,000 plus mark left to go by 7 o'clock. We'll hopefully get an update here quickly, but we would still love to hear from you right now at 800-456-5372. And if you're interested in this topic, and we know that some of you are, you can pick up with our thanks at the $120 membership level your very own copy of Dr. Powell's book, The ESP Enigma.
This is a really interesting book, especially if you're someone who likes to look at things according to the science behind it, but you think there might be something to ESP and psychic phenomena. This is a really interesting read. We are delighted to be able to offer it to you if you want to make a contribution of $120 or more. And that is, by the way, about the average that we receive in these fundraising campaigns. So, you know, maybe this is what you were already planning to spend in supporting KERA.
It's a pretty popular level. And, of course, we're not asking you to buy this book at that level. We're offering it to you as a thank you gift. We would encourage you to check it out if you're interested in the topic anyway. So why not do both things at once? To call us, 800-456-5372. $72,375 left to go. We can get there if you'll make that call right now.
This is an investment not just in the present of KERA, but the future of KERA, and you can make it happen. 1-800-456-5372. Final day, we hope, of our winter membership campaign. You can also go to kera.org.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's Master of Liberal Studies program, offering flexible part-time graduate study. You can cultivate your curiosity at SMU and learn more at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is Dr. Diane Hennessy Powell. She's a former faculty member at Harvard Medical School. Her new book is called The ESP Enigma, The Scientific Case for Psychic Phenomena. If you are interested in the copy of the book and you also want to help KERA, you can make a $120 contribution or above right now at 1-800-456-5372. If you want to ask a question or join the conversation, the telephone number is 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org. That's where we hear from Gabriel, who says, there is no evidence for any psychic phenomena. Every properly designed double-blind study has been shown nothing more than could be accounted for by chance. What do you say to that?
I say that he has obviously not read the literature, because there is so much evidence. In fact, Dean Radin gives a really wonderful sort of listing of the research that's been done and the statistics behind it in his book, Entangled Minds. And he says that the evidence for psychic abilities actually is 29 quadrillion to one. And, I mean, there's more evidence for psychic abilities than there is for aspirin being something that can help prevent heart attack. Mm. And so when I hear people say that, it's what I think they're doing is they're quoting something that they've heard people say. It's an assumption that people make. There's also a problem that the studies that have been done are not printed in the mainstream journals like Science and Nature, which are the really prestigious journals in science. They've been printed in publications such as the Journal of Parapsychology. And, you know, once again, we have this kind of catch-22. If they're, you know, if scientists aren't willing to accept it, and they're sitting on the editorial boards and not accepting articles about paranormal phenomena, then scientists who read those magazines don't think that paranormal phenomena are a legitimate thing to study. And, you know, around and around we go. But there have been hundreds, literally hundreds of studies that have been done, well conducted, and there's been double blind and everything that you require as a scientist to say that it's been conducted correctly.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's speak next to Andrea in Dallas. Hi, Andrea.
Hi there.
Hi.
I had a situation that occurred shortly after I was married. We were married maybe a year, year and a half, mm-hmm. and I woke up in the morning, and my husband said that he had had a dream, a terrible dream, and he started telling me about it, and he commented that I wasn't being very nice in the dream to him, and I said, well, that's because I was trying to surprise you, and I had had the same dream that he had, only from my perspective.
Wow.
The details were the same about where we were and what was going on. And in the dream, he was mad at me because I was running and hiding from him at the mall. And I said, well, I was trying to surprise you and get you a present. I knew what had happened in his dream from my perspective. And I wonder if there's any explanation for something like that.
Hold on one second, Andrea. How long did it take you both to realize that you were talking about the same dream? And you?
I knew immediately.
Really? But I mean, did it strike you that was incredibly strange?
Well, I've had some occurrences where that's happened to me before with other people, and have studied a little bit about astral projection and had some really interesting experiences with that as well.
Hmm. Well, thanks very much for your call. What do you think, Diane?
I actually discuss what are called shared dreams in my book. There has been a lot of research that's been done on that, and there are some really striking examples. There's this one dream that I quote in my book where this woman has this dream that she's in this dark forest and she bumps into this friend of hers, and then all of a sudden this bush starts to go up in flames, and she runs into this friend a few days later and says, boy, I had a dream with you in it the other night. And he says, wait a minute, let me tell you. And he describes to her the same dream that she had. And so There's a lot of evidence that people can actually share dreams. One of the problems is that many of us don't take the time to remember our dreams. We would really have to, during that moment when we first wake up, we'd have to actually collect our thoughts and try to remember what we dreamed about rather than rush off to our day. And then secondly, we rarely share our dreams with other people. But so the phenomena of, when I say share, I mean, you know, tell other people, gee, I had this dream about you last night. So, I think that it's really much more common than people realize.
One of the things you discuss in the book is the idea that memory and certain kinds of thought might be stored not specifically within the physical brain, but in a field somewhat outside the brain. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Well, there's a lot of excitement about something called the zero-point field, and a book by Lynn McTaggart talks about the field, and she's referring to the zero-point field. And what this is scientists have discovered that there is a lot of energy in empty space, and that it has the capacity to store information. And we know that information is, there's information in space, because that's a lot of our wireless technology takes advantage of that. And so what I'm proposing in this book, and I'm not the first person to propose this by any means, is that information is available out there out there in space, time. And I think one of the strongest, I think psychic phenomena are a strong indicator that that's possible, but I think one of the strongest are the people who have the autistic savant syndrome. When you have someone who, for example, these people who can just pull six-figure prime numbers out of the air, and that can do cubed roots as fast as a calculator, and yet they have low IQs, they've never attended school, they can't even tie their shoes, let alone do regular mathematics. They're not. If you ask them what they're doing, they're not doing any calculation in their head. They're just pulling the number out of somewhere. And so I think that kind of those kinds of people, they demonstrate something that I think can be explained by an informational field.
Diane Hennessy-Powell is my guest. Her new book is called The ESP Enigma, The Scientific Case for Psychic Phenomena. Let's go next to John in Dallas. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
Good. I've always wondered if there's any scientific evidence that links either brain activity in the entire brain or just certain regions that some people simply have more than others that would create a better or more clear ability to have ESP, or if that's just a kind of a myth created by Hollywood?
I actually talk about that in my book. I'm a neuropsychiatrist, and one of the things that I saw that was lacking in most of the books that are out there about ESP is that nobody talks about really what's going on in the brain. And a lot of people who have psychic abilities are afraid to undergo the type of brain imaging technology that we have. I mean, they would be subject to radiation or very strong magnetic fields, and they just don't want to take that risk. So we only have a few psychics who've been willing to have that kind of investigation done. But what we do have, so we have that, and then we also have imaging studies of people when they're dreaming. And as we said earlier in the program, 67% of psychic experiences happen when people are dreaming. There's something about the dreaming state that's very conducive to psychic phenomena. And then we also have people, like the people who have autistic savants. We have people who have synesthesia. 19% of people who have this condition called synesthesia, which is this condition where you combine different senses like color and light, color and sound. You know, they might, whenever they hear the note C, they might also see the color blue, that kind of thing. Those people, 19% of them have psychic experiences on a regular basis. So when you look at the imaging studies of the people who have higher incidence of psychic experiences and in the dreaming state and the studies on psychics, they all show the same pattern, and it's a pattern in which the part of the brain that's involved in dreaming is more active than the part of the brain that is highly developed in humans, the outer cortex, which is the sort of analytical part of the brain.
You talked about the fact that this can be hard to reproduce in a lab. Are there particular conditions out in the real world that tend to foster psychic activity?
Well, we're more likely to have psychic experiences with people that we really care about. And that's been well documented, and we're also more likely to have psychic experiences when someone is in a crisis that we care about. But aside from that, I think that one of the things that is really helpful is trying to use the right hemisphere more than your left hemisphere. Our educational system has caused us to become more left hemisphere oriented. And what I mean by when I say that is that we tend to analyze the world using our left hemisphere. That's the side that uses logic. That's when we read. That's the part of the brain that's primarily used when we read. And so if we switch over to the right hemisphere, which is the part of the brain that's more involved in visual graphic things and in intuition, then we will actually have more of the psychic experiences. And if we try to tune down that noise that our analytical brain, that constant kind of chatter that, you know, we have repeated things that we say to ourselves all day long, and it's just, it really has no value. If we learn to quiet that down through methods like meditation, that also enhances our ability to have psychic experiences.
We will return in just a minute to our conversation with Dr. Diane Hennessy Powell. Her new book is called The ESP Enigma, The Scientific Case for Psychic Phenomena. We would love for you to have a copy of the book with our compliments when you join KERA today with a contribution of $120 or more. The telephone number to call to set that all up is 1-800-456-5372, or you can do it online. And as Jeff Whittington likes to say, we are clearly not selling you Diane's book for $120 because that would be a bad deal for all involved. We want you to go buy it if you want it. But if you also are ready to support KERA and want to make that your thank you gift, then have at it.
1-800-456-5372 is the number to call. Online pledges at KERA.org come straight out of the $71,300 left to raise. Chris, there's a challenge in play from KERA friends David Dean and Terry Black. They have said, hey, KERA listeners, join today, end the drive by 7 p.m., and that means David Dean and Terry Black, will give the station an additional $2,500. That's a lot of money. So is $71,300, but you know what? I think we can do this, and we can make it if you'll call right now, 800-456-5372, online at KERA.org. Prove me wrong, because I'm a little concerned that we've strayed into, gosh, this is way too interesting for a pledge drive topic. And there's a full board of callers holding, and I know that many of you want to get back to the discussion, but we're going to get right back to that discussion. But right now, please make that call.
You cannot telepathically communicate your support to KERA because we can't figure out your credit card number in this way. So please give us a call in the most obvious way possible, 1-800-456-5372. We owe thanks to Jerry Tees in Arlington for his support, Teresa Reagan in Allen, Patricia Miga in Colleyville, Wendy Lehman in Dallas, Jeremy Larson in Dallas, Brenda Simon in Bedford. Oh, my goodness, there's a long list here, Jeff.
Let's see. Anna Soto Siddiqui in Fort Worth. Let's see. Is that Kanan Aramugal in Coppell and Scott Hammond in Frisco? Thanks so much to each and every one of you. Thanks especially for letting us try to pronounce your names, and sometimes when we don't hear it.
Thanks for your forgiveness when we don't necessarily have a phonetic.
When we can't hear it, it's tough. So that's something that we always do on the show. We always ask a guest to say it for us, just so we can try to say it as closely as possible. So thanks so much for your support and for your patience with us, and thanks a lot for calling to help end this drive today by 7 p.m. so that we can win this challenge grant.
1-800-456-5372 is the number. Again, the contribution that you make to KERA not only goes back and sort of pays for what you've been listening to, but it is an investment in the future of the station. You already know that you rely on the service. I don't know about you, but even in a time when I'm trying to conserve money, I end up spending money in an average month or year on things that I don't ever really use. I could think of five or six examples. KERA is something that you really use all the time. So why wouldn't you throw a little money toward this service that you want? You have a vested interest in it being as strong and vibrant as ever before.
800-456-5372. That's the telephone number. Online pledges at kera.org. You can do that there as well. $71,300 left to go. I'd really like to get down into the mid-60s if possible remaining before we go, before we end Think Today at 2 o'clock. So if you're a Think listener, if you've considered supporting the station, maybe you've listened for a long time and you've considered joining at the $1,500 friends level, you know, if we could get one or two or four of you to call at that level today during the show, it would really propel us that much closer to the end of this drive. It would propel your radio station that much closer to the end of the drive. Because really, we're just spokespeople on behalf of the station and the service that you use every single day.
We don't have spokesmodels at KERA, but we are spokespeople.
That's right.
1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number. You can also go to kera.org. Remember that you can set up a sustaining membership, and that allows you to make a really, what we consider to be a significant contribution to the station without it costing you an arm and a leg every single, all in one lump sum.
Yeah.
It doesn't ever have to cost you an arm and a leg, but this allows you to sort of afford, we think, a larger contribution than if you do it all at once.
Well, it's just, it makes it easier for you to budget. You can make a $240 contribution to the station, and it works out to $20 a month. It transfers right from your bank account right to KERA's member account, and you don't even have to worry about it. The $20 just happens automatically. It happens for as long as you want it to happen. You can continue to support KERA that way. We would love to hear from more of you, people just like Keisha Shahid in Arlington. Thank you so much, Keisha. Also, Laura Ann Beasley. Is that Beasley?
Beasley.
Beasley in Denton. Thank you so much, Laura Ann. We really appreciate your support. And we can end this drive if you'll call 800-456-5372.
If we are all done with fundraising by 7 o'clock today, of course, we have that challenge grant going from David Dean and Terry Black to Friends of KERA. That's an additional $2,500 for the station, money that we try very hard to put to work for you immediately. You know how great the programming is. You know that it's different from anything else on the airwaves in North Texas. So please give us a call now. 1-800-456-KERA. That's 1-800-456-5372. You can also make a contribution online at kera.org. Thank you.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's Master of Liberal Studies program, offering flexible part-time graduate study. You can cultivate your curiosity at SMU and learn more at smu.edu/MLS.
You are listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is Dr. Diane Hennessy-Powell. Her new book is called The ESP Enigma, The Scientific Case for Psychic Phenomena. If you'd like to receive a copy of Diane's book and also support KERA, you can make a $120 pledge or above right now at 1-800-456-5372 or go to kera.org. If you want to join the conversation, you can send an email to think@kera.org. Let's go next to Grapevine and speak with Russ. Hey, Russ.
I'm an 18-year contributor to KERA.
Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome. But to the point, my experience was that I was at a grocery store purchasing some items, and at the checkout line, I pulled out of my pocket the keychain holder on which I have the frequent purchaser cards for that store and a whole bunch of others. I handed it to the cashier, and as she grabbed it, those little plastic cards broke out of the locked loop, started splattering all over the place. I said, "Oh, no. I'm losing my cards," and I got distraught and started scrambling around to pick them up. At that moment, or about 3 seconds later, my cell phone rang, and it was my wife. She said, "Are you okay? I have a terrible feeling that you've gotten in an accident or something awful happened."
Uh-huh.
I said, "No, I just kind of lost some of my cards, I think." Mm-hmm. End of story there. But my point is, never ever in my life has she ever called me to express concern that I might be in some sort of trouble. The fact that it happened at that exact moment, that I was feeling distraught over relatively minor and mundane thing is proof to me that there's some sort of telepathic communication that exists between her and myself.
Really interesting. Thanks for your call, Russ.
That's it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And you've seen a lot of stories like this, Diane.
Yes. I mean, that's very typical, that it's two people that are really emotionally connected with one another, and one of them is having a crisis, and the other person picks up on it. And I think that actually that gives me some sense of security, actually, because I've found that for myself, with my daughter, I just intuitively know when she's having a problem. And so when she was a baby, I would go into her room to check on her just literally seconds before she actually started crying. I'd wake up and I'd go in there to check on her. And I think that knowing that we have that kind of connection is, it's really actually very comforting.
We're not alone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to Denton and speak to Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. I just wanted to tell about a precognitive dream that I've had. I've had several, and then get her comments on that. This was back during the Iran hostage situation. I was a stay-at-home mom at the time, and had this dream where I saw President Carter and his wife, dressed to the nines, get into a limo. And the limo drove to an airport, and when they climbed out of the limo, they were dressed in blue jeans and very casually. Mm-hmm. At that point, someone came and handed them a baby. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up the next day, I wrote it all down, and it was not just a few days later that then President Carter was allowed, as a private citizen, to go and welcome the hostages.
Uh-huh.
Very
so
interesting.
I felt it was very precognitive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh.
And so, Diane, how would precognition be scientifically possible?
It's scientifically possible because physics has shown that space-time is different from how we think of it. In other words, we experience time as an arrow, and so we think of only the past and the present as existing. But actually, the future already coexists, and we don't tend to think of it that way. But precognition actually is a manifestation of the fact that the future already exists. Now, this isn't inconsistent with having free will, because we still have free will in the moment. We live a life that's a series of nows, and so in the moment, we have free will. It's just that if you were to step back from it objectively, kind of like, you know, like a movie that you're looking at, just looking at, and you're in the middle of the movie. I mean, the end of the movie still exists. Just that at every moment, you're experiencing, you know, the now. And the same thing seems to be true for space-time, that the future already coexists.
Let's go next on the phones to Orlando in Irving. Hi, Orlando.
Yes. Is being psychic a possible learned behavior, or is it something that we are born with? And I'll just get my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks. What do you think, Diane?
I think it's something that's a potential in all of us. That's what research has actually shown. There was a lot of research done at Stanford Research Institute, and that was funded by almost all of the branches of military intelligence during the Cold War, and much of it became unclassified in 1995. And they decided that they needed to have controls for their subjects who were well-known psychics. And what they found was that a lot of the controls also had psychic abilities, and that's one of the things that made them suspect that it's a potential in everyone. If they set an intention and actually try to develop that ability, so it's kind of a latent ability that is in all of us.
So is it something that you think can be worked on? And if we have these abilities and we're aware of them, can we sharpen them?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
How do you do that?
Well, one of the things is that you need some kind of feedback system so that you know whether or not you were accurate. In other words, think if you compare it to biofeedback, where one of the popular forms of biofeedback is to just simply have a thermometer, say, on your hand, and just use that thermometer and try to raise the temperature of your hand. And having that thermometer there gives you something to focus on so that you can see whether or not whatever you're doing, you don't know what you're doing, but it enables you to have something to measure and see that, oh, okay, you know, whatever I'm doing now, I'm increasing the temperature of my hand. So having some kind of feedback is really important. And one of the things that has helped me with developing my intuition and my experiences of telepathy is the fact that as a psychiatrist, I have people who come in all of the time to share things with me that they don't share with other people. And I have the opportunity to say to them things like, gee, I have this feeling that whatever, and they'll give me an honest answer back. And it gives me a feedback for my intuition. And so I think having something, whether it's taking a deck of cards and trying to intuit, you know, what's the next card that's going to come up, if you keep practicing that and seeing when you're right and when you're wrong, even though you're not clear on what you're doing, just like the biofeedback with increasing the temperature in your hand, you're actually increasing the skill.
And is it easier to do this when you're doing things that are essentially based on a kind of empathy as opposed to, you know, guessing the card that's in someone else's hand?
That's right. I mean, our telepathy and precognition really works best for things that really have a meaning to us. And the part of the brain that's involved, the amygdala, is part of the limbic system, and the limbic system is the part of the brain that is more active during psychic experiences. That part of the brain is what's involved in social bonding. It's what's involved in assigning importance and what kind of emotion to have about things. So absolutely, one of the problems with laboratory studies when they're looking at ESP cards is that there's less of an emotional sort of connection with those cards. But if you're doing it with someone that you really care about, then the accuracy goes up manyfold. So having a partner that you know is going to give you honest feedback as to whether or not your intuitions are correct is a wonderful way in which to develop it.
Diane Hennessy Powell is a former faculty member at Harvard Medical School. Her new book is called The ESP Enigma, The Scientific Case for Psychic Phenomena. Diane, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure, and best wishes with your drive.
Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you who have called throughout the hour. Some of you have called to get Diane's book as a thank you when you've joined the station at the $120 level or above. Some of you have called and said, don't need a thank you gift, just want to become a member of KERA. We're happy to hear from you regardless. 1-800-456-5372 is our telephone number. Of course, the pledges online also count. Those go to kera.org. Fastest way to put your money to work is to use a debit or credit card, but you can also set up a sustaining membership, which is a great way to divide out the amount that you want to support KERA at over a year or several years. Basically, it's a month-to-month draw from your checking account. Jeff Whittington is here now. I'm wondering how we're doing. We started the morning, what, with $100,000 to raise?
We started this morning with a little over $102,000 to raise, and the last update we got, we were, here we are, $70,830 left to go. Your call right now at $100 or $200 will put us that much closer. I'd really like to get down into the 60s, left to go before the show ends today. And I, you know, I have a vested interest in this. I don't want to be on the air at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
You're going to sleep in till 7:15 tomorrow.
Yeah, I'd like to have, you know, no, but and you don't want to hear that. If you listen to Morning Edition, you do not want to hear Jeff Ramirez and me, on the air tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the morning.
You just want to hear Morning Edition and Sam
exactly.
Baker and all the folks there.
Yeah.
So give us a call now, 1-800-456-5372. Thank you to Marjorie Grant from Fort Worth, Julia Glover in Irving, and all of you who have called over the last, well, throughout this membership campaign, actually. Anyone who has become a new or renewing member, anyone who is currently a member, we want to thank you for your support.
Yeah, and thanks to all the sustaining members, too, who keep that, you know, that constant level of monthly support going. You know, we never say it enough, but we know that you're there every month supporting KERA. And so we really appreciate your ongoing support as well. Want to say thanks to Jim Pennington in Dallas. Want to say thanks to Christopher Record in Denton. Thanks for doing your part. You know, it's really important that you call right now, 800-456-5372. It's really important that you pledge online at KERA.org because there is a challenge going on right now to end the drive by 7 p.m. today. KERA friends David Dean and Terry Black have said, hey, KERA listeners, we'll give the station an additional $2,500 if and only if the drive ends today by 7 o'clock. We've got to finish it. We've got to make it. And to make it, we need your call right now.
1-800-456-5372. Let's get down into the 60s. The great thing is, the 60,000s, that is. The great thing is...
Yeah, they're groovy.
We only want you to get down into the 60s.
That's right.
We only... You know, you need to call once. We sometimes members of the staff will say, keep those phones ringing. We only ask that you do it one time, you know, per year. If you want to make an additional gift, we're always delighted to hear from you. But your part of this is only one call. And then you can sit back and relax and sort of sit on pins and needles with the rest of us and hope that we make that challenge grant by 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, it is an annual membership, but I'm not afraid to say, if you joined in the last membership campaign, why not just, you know, why not give a little this campaign as well? Today would be a great day to do it. You know, this is a service that's here for you all the time, especially in the sort of news environment we live in these days. You always turn to KERA. You want to know what's going on with the economy. You want to know what's going on in North Texas. We're getting all kinds of coverage from Shelley Koffler and the other KERA news team members on this current Ledge session in Austin. You know, you're getting an amazing amount of information every day right here, and it doesn't cost you anything on a daily basis. We're asking you to, every once in a while, pony up a few bucks at 800-456-5372. Help us win this challenge and help us finish the drive by 7 o'clock today.
This is your source for NPR News, KERA 90.1, Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, and online at KERA.org. Of course, KERA.org is another place you can go to make your contribution. If you are interested in thank you gifts, we've mentioned a lot over the past week or so. If there's something you're interested in, you can go online and find out if it's still available. Most of them are, and set up your contribution as you do it.
Yeah, it's in the book of this hour's guest, Dr. Diane Hennessy Powell, The ESP Enigma. It's available when you join the station at the $120 membership level. Hey, Chris and I know that this is might be a kind of a controversial topic to have a guest on the show to talk about, and we got some emails in the last hour that disagreed with the doctor, and we got some that agreed with the doctor and asked questions. That's what this is all about. We're not saying that this is the truth or this is the way people should think.
The show's not called Believe.
Right, exactly. We're saying, here's some information. Here's someone who has an opinion on it. Let's see what they have to say about it. And we open up the phones and we open up the email, and it's your forum. What's that worth to you? Where else do you have a place where you can go, where you can listen, where you can experience and participate in that sort of civil discourse? I think it's worth a little bit of money, and especially on a day like today when we can wrap this membership campaign up.
1-800-456-5372 is our telephone number. You can also go to KERA.org. I want to say thank you to Edward Lee in Fort Worth, Charles Henderson in Bedford, John Lindell in Plano, Carrie Carbone in Grand Prairie. It's so great to hear from all these people. Everything is really sort of streaming in now. Jump on the bandwagon. We are happy to have you as part of the community of supporters that make your public radio station possible.
Yeah, it's your station. There are hundreds of stations all over the country, and they're all funded a little bit differently. Some are part of government entities or educational institutions, and they get an endowment from that. KERA is independently owned and operated right here in North Texas. We have a sister television station, but that's it. We count on you, your contributions, to fuel this resource. We get a little bit of money from the government, of course, and it's really sort of like a challenge grant itself. It's about 8 to 10% of the annual budget.
It works almost like seed money.
Yeah, exactly. It sort of spurs us to go out and raise the rest of the money. We come to you on the air three times a year for 56% of the budget for the station. Your $35 or your $350 contribution, whatever it is, helps fuel this resource. So please call now, 800-456-5372. Go online to KERA.org. Make that gift right now.
We are down in the 60s, Jeff. We have broken through $70,000. We are
great.
Now in the 60,000, probably 69,000 something.
I love the way the 60s feel.
Very groovy.
Yeah.
Please be the next one. We are really picking up steam now, and we can end this today. Please call us at 1-800-456-5372 or go online to KERA.org. Help us receive that $2,500 challenge grant by finishing our fundraising tonight by 7 o'clock. Thanks.
Think is produced by Jeff Whittington and engineered by Jeannie Mascoro. Learn about upcoming programs, subscribe to our free daily podcast, and order CD copies of your favorite Think shows on the radio page of KERA.org. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@KERA.org.